You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams. Right Side Radio, like the dude just said, we are indeed solid, conservative, and just plain right. Hey, I'm glad to welcome on a guest for the show here. Jay Towne is the former U.S. Attorney for the Northern District of Alabama. He served in that capacity from 2017 to July of 2020 during the Trump administration. He had previously also been a senior prosecutor in the Madison County District Attorney's Office. He's got his B.A. from Notre Dame, his Juris Doctorate degree from Seton Hall University. He also, though, served as a Judge Advocate General, a JAG officer in the Marine Corps, and we appreciate that service, too. So, Jay Towne, thanks for coming on the show, man. How are you today?
Phil, thanks for having me on. It's good to be with you.
Absolutely. And by the way, I did not realize you were a JAG officer, so thank you for your service.
Oh, yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. You know, one of the best organizations I'll ever be a part of is the Marine Corps.
Well, Semper Fi. Right. Listen, you have got, I practice law. I've been practicing for about 20 years, but I made it a personal point not to practice criminal law. So I may have a better than average understanding, but I am certainly not an expert. You, though, have served as a prosecutor. And this Rittenhouse trial is one of those that's sort of galvanizing the nation. It's murder trials take place every day, everywhere, but this one's got social aspects to it. And I just wonder, first of all, before I get into some specific questions, what have your impressions been of the trial to this point, which is now with the jury?
Well, I didn't watch the entire trial, of course, but what I did watch, I got to tell you, I can say this with great certainty, without knowing it for a fact. The prosecution team has never been trained in firearms. They clearly have no understanding as to why people carry firearms, the point of a firearm, or even just the common vernacular when describing the functions of a firearm. For instance,
it was a bit embarrassing.
Tell me if you've ever heard this before: re-racking a bullet. 12 years in the Marines, and you know, my whole life I've heard racking around, but not re-racking a bullet, Just their sort of understanding, misunderstanding, really, of why people open carry, that would be provocative to other people towards violence versus what it's meant to do is to inform people that I'm armed and you shouldn't approach me violently. It's a self-defense mechanism. It's a show of force. It's not meant to be provocative. It's the exact opposite.
Well, you're right. It's classic. I mean, I couldn't help but leave lawyer mode sometimes and go into my Army mode because that was my background in service and look at this and go, they have no clue what they're talking about. It got to the point that it had that sort of beta male, I don't understand guns kind of mentality. But anyway, all that to say, yeah, they still had to put on their case and hopefully the jury understood what they were presenting. But there have been some things that have happened, and we've had at least two motions for mistrial, one of which came, I believe, today, if I'm not mistaken, because after the presentation of the evidence and the close of the case by both, you know, defense and the prosecution, it went to the jury, and then we find out there was a video or a version of a video that had never been provided to the defense. What are your thoughts on that?
That's correct. So the motion was actually filed on Monday, but then clarified today. You're correct. It's about a video. It's the drone video of the interaction of Rittenhouse with one of the individuals that he shot. And the version that the defense got was, think about it as being just sort of a standard definition version, whereas the version that was played at trial was a high definition version, and that's the one that the jurors are going to be viewing. And they're very different sort of pixelated motion pictures. And so the defense they did not get the discovery that they requested, which was every single thing that the prosecution was going to use inside the courtroom.
Right.
It's a technical difference, but it certainly could result in a mistrial. My thought, though, is that this judge is not going to declare a mistrial while this jury is deliberating. If this jury comes back with a not guilty verdict on all counts, he's not going to steal that from this jury. Now, if they come back with a guilty verdict, you can bet that he's going to have to consider a motion for a new trial, which oftentimes is couched as a judgment notwithstanding the verdict.
Well, and yeah, and so for our listeners, what that basically means is when the jury's done, it doesn't mean the trial's done, because technically you do have a right to press forward on some of the objections that were raised during the pendency of the trial.
Correct. And so, that's not the appeal. People shouldn't get confused about this being the appeal. This is actually before sentencing. So he could actually mistry the case before sentencing, because it's actually not a conviction until an individual is sentenced. That's actually when the conviction takes place.
Okay, good clarification. Well, let me ask you this. So the defense has done its part, obviously, and seemed to have done it fairly well. They also made the unusual decision. It's not real common, I guess. You can tell me as a former prosecutor. They actually put the defendant on the stand to testify on his own behalf. So what were your thoughts on that?
Yeah, you know, I've tried dozens and dozens of murder cases. And I'm struggling to find one where the defendant took the stand. And there's a variety of reasons why they don't. Certainly their right not to, constitutional right not to. But it was strong testimony. I mean, it humanized Kyle Rittenhouse for the jurors. There are 7 women and 5 men on this jury deciding his fate. They got to know him better than what was in those the videotapes that were shown in court, where he was kind of being a, you know, sort of a snotty kid. You know, I mean, look, Phil, we got to agree to this, all right? We're Second Amendment guys. I served my country, you served your country in uniform. You're not going to find 2 guys that understand the Second Amendment better and believe in freedom. But can we acknowledge that it was a really bad decision to go out and walk around Kenosha, Wisconsin with an AR-15 on that night, and that his parents who let him do it, you know, that maybe that was bad judgment as well. I mean, just because you have a right to do it doesn't mean you should. And I guarantee you he wishes he had never heard of Kenosha, Wisconsin, he being Kyle Rittenhouse. Doesn't mean he did anything wrong. Doesn't mean he broke the law. It just, you know, he just didn't need to be there. And you know, when folks get all excited and want to go downtown and start throwing rocks, bad things can happen. We see it all the time. And I've 23 years in this business, I've seen the worst things that people can do to one another. And they're not well thought out plans most of the time. These aren't mob hits. They're just people who get angry and decide to do the worst things to one another. So, you know,
let me ask you this, Jay.
That's what Kyle Rittenhouse did.
Yeah, and I totally agree with that, completely agree with that assessment. I said that, in fact, something similar yesterday. Lack of wisdom, but does not make it criminal. But let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. With regards to him having that AR-15, I was interested to hear that some nuance of Wisconsin state law got that particular charge dismissed at the close of evidence. They determined that it actually should not have even been a charge that was brought, because it didn't qualify under the charges that were being assessed. So shouldn't the prosecution have read the law in advance and known what the evidence was going to do in terms of that particular section of the law?
It would have helped in this particular case. It actually, dismissing this charge actually took a lot of the, you know, one of the reasons why you charge a misdemeanor in a murder case is so you're guaranteed that you can talk about certain things like this weapon. And how it was a provoking instrument in all of these events. Well, that sort of stole a little of that thunder when that charge was dismissed, because the barrel length was not a sawed-off shotgun, which is what the statute was meant to prohibit, and that makes good sense. That's not what this was. So he dismissed the charge. I don't know why the defense didn't get it dismissed before the trial. That would have been better yet, but, you know.
Makes me wonder, too, if that was a defense ploy to make them look silly, to embarrass the prosecution in the eyes of the jury. I mean, I just can't help but wonder. But last question I got for you, with about 2 minutes left on this. There's been a lot being said about witness juror intimidation. Protests outside the courthouse, the possibility that the jurors are having their photographs taken by unknown individuals for the purpose of doxing them after the trial. And I wonder if you've ever experienced that before, or what your thoughts are with regards to juror intimidation.
I have been involved in cases where that whether it was really with witnesses as opposed to jurors, but it's real. And these people are human beings. They don't want to be here. They don't want to be on this trial. They want to go back to work and their families and their normal lives. They didn't seek this out. They were ordered by the state to appear. So, yeah, I'm sure this does have an impact on what decision they might want to make, or at least gives them some, trepidation as to when they're going to make it. It's probably why you're seeing their deliberations be, not to be redundant, so deliberate. And they might take the rest of the week to come up with a verdict just so that they know they got it right.
Wow. Yeah, great point. Hey, Jay, we appreciate your time and your insight, man. That was invaluable. And depending on how this thing plays out, we may even call on you again just for some more after-the-fact color commentary, if you don't mind. But thanks for being on
today.
Sounds
good. Good being with you, folks. Thanks, bud.
Absolutely. All right, folks, that was Jay Towne, former U.S. attorney for the Northern District of Alabama. Many, many years as a prosecutor. He knows cases like this inside and out. And like he said, he's tried murder cases multiple times. And this one has some nuances that are even different than what he's seen, like putting the defendant on the stand. Pretty interesting to hear somebody who's been a prosecutor talk through this case. And I appreciate him coming on. All right, folks, we're moving to a short break right now. We're going to come back from that, and I'm going to wrap that up with a little bit. And then at the bottom of the hour, we're going to come back and have Copper's Corner. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, and just plain right. We'll be right back.